You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we want to encourage young men to grow and mature in their faith. Gen Z, we've been talking about having a mind that's made up. And we've been looking at the book of Daniel, and I've been asking you the question, have you been tempted in such a way that you weren't sure what kind of decision that you were going to make? Or let me ask you, have you ever had a situation that was so tempting that you just couldn't make up your mind? And what's the biggest temptation that you've ever faced? And in that moment, how did you respond? And what I'm trying to do is help prepare you as a young man, as life is coming at you really fast, that you got to be a man with your mind made up. Because we're looking at the book of Daniel, we're looking at Daniel chapter 1, and we were reminded in our last show that Daniel was relocated from Israel to Babylon. He had been deported. And so as he's there in Babylon in exile for about 70 years, the Babylonians tried to brainwash him, and they tried to change his literature and his language, and they tried to change his food and his drink, and they tried to change his name and his character. But you know what? Daniel had a mind made up. He had resolve. And that's what Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says, where we left off from our last show. It says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. So Daniel was resolved. This means, men, that he had conviction. Remember, conviction is what you are doing when no one else is watching. In a sense, Daniel could have done whatever he wanted. Remember, his country, Israel, got ransacked. He's now in Babylon. There's no real accountability here. He just is going to have to live out his faith on his own. And your conviction at times like this really reveals your true character. You got to have your mind made up right now, because if you wait until the heat of the battle, you might give in to temptation. And that's why I love how Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, young man, when you're tempted to go to the movies, when you're tempted to turn on the TV, when you're tempted to go onto the internet late at night when it's just you, make sure that you've got your mind made up. Make sure that you're keeping your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Let me just share with you one of the best verses I know to help you in the midst of your temptation, and that would be 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And when I think about having my mind made up, I think about a verse like this. I just got to understand that nobody is going to not face temptation. So what we're looking for is, how do we fight it? In the midst of temptation, are you ready for the battle? And so this is one of my all-time favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I mean, it's easily in my top 10. What an encouraging, comforting reminder for us at all times to have in our minds when we are being tempted. Because as you well know, temptation is coming at us all from many different ways. We're being bombarded by temptation. So if you want to have a mind made up, maybe 1 Corinthians 10:13 ought to be ever so familiar to you that when you're battling your sin, you go right to this verse. In the midst of your temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13 ought to be for you what the Eiffel Tower is for Paris. It's what the Colosseum is for Rome. It's what the Acropolis is for Athens. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is the sun and a whole universe of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is the fizz in your soda. It's the sugar in your cake. It's the meat on your grill. Okay. All right. I'm getting a little carried away here, but I'm just saying you got to come back to God's word. And in all seriousness, you don't go into any kind of competition without a plan, or you don't go into a fight without a strategy, and you don't go into a war without a weapon. And so 1 Corinthians 10:13 is like the machine gun for the infantryman. It's like a destroyer to a Navy man. It's like a heat-seeking missile to an F-35 pilot. And so let me just give you, in short, 1 Corinthians 10:13, three things to remember. Number one, God is sovereign over all your temptation. And that verse says, nothing comes to you that's not common to man. We can know that when you're being tempted, nothing is going to overtake you that's not common to man. Everybody faces different types of temptation, but it shouldn't be a surprise. And it doesn't mean you've done something wrong. It just means everybody's going to be tempted. And so God's sovereign over all our temptation, but God is also faithful in all your temptation. This means that he's right there with you. I mean, as you face the temptation, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. And so as a believer, young man, please know you are not enslaved to the temptation. You are not a predator. That temptation is not a predator that somehow has power over you, because God is faithful to save you, and he will faithfully sanctify you, and he will not leave you on your own. Not only that, but God is also resourceful through all your temptation. So he's sovereign over it all, he's present with you in it all, and he's resourceful through all your temptation. I mean, the end of that verse says basically that God provides a way of escape, right? That God is faithful because he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he provides a way of escape. Please note, it doesn't say that he removes all temptation, but it does say that he provides a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. So here's what I want you to do, young man. I want you to look that temptation right in the eye, and I want you to slay it with the power that God gives to you, because God is faithful to help you be an overcomer. I mean, God provides a way of escape, and I think the way of escape is found in God's word, and the way of escape is found in prayer, and the way of escape is found on meditating on the word of God. Like Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. So here's what I'm trying to say to you, Gen Z. There is a way out. And the way out is to come to God's word. And you got to make up your mind right now, because while God may not remove the temptation, in other words, we'll still be tempted, he will provide a way of escape so that you can endure it. And one of my favorite verses on this as well would be James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you submit yourself to God, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we start to see this being built out in the life of Daniel, because after he says, and in his own heart and mind, kind of to himself, that he will not defile himself and what he eats and drinks, the second part of verse 8, we see Daniel's appeal. He makes an appeal. He says, therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And so what we see here is, because of Daniel's conviction, it leads to the fact that he's asking a question. Hey, is there a way here we can work this out? And Daniel goes on to say, it says here in verse 9, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Daniel's given a little bit of favor here. And we see that the more Daniel seeks to obey God, the more God gives him favor. I mean, Daniel's willing, he's willing to submit, at least in part, to the government. I mean, Romans 13 talks about that. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. but not at the stake of your conscience, right? If it comes down for your, am I going to obey God or obey man? You got to obey God. And so even though we want to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, that doesn't ever give us an excuse to sin. And this is why Daniel is looking at the Babylonians and he's asking, can he not have to do that? And the Bible says it gave him favor. In fact, verse 10 goes on to say, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. So in other words, the eunuch is like saying, hey man, I get what you're saying, but I'm still kind of concerned for my own safety because if this doesn't work out, you know, it's going to be off with my head. And so Daniel continues to reason with him. He doesn't say, okay, I'll just do it then. He says, no, no. He said to the steward of whom the chief, who was the chief of the eunuchs, who was assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he said, test yourselves, your servants, test us for 10 days, and then let us be given in those 10 days vegetables to eat and water to drink, and let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So Daniel is saying, look, I'm ready to have a test here. I'll eat vegetables and water. You let the other guys eat the other food. And at the end of 10 days, let's see where we're at. So don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to see how this all ends up with Daniel as we see him living out the life of a man with a mind made up.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. If you don't have your mind made up before the moment hits, you're not going to stand. That's what Daniel shows. And honestly, that's what too many guys today are missing. They haven't decided who they are, who they serve, or what hill they're willing to die on. They're just hoping they're going to figure it out on the fly, but they won't. That's why this show exists. It's why Fortis Institute exists, because young men, especially Gen Z, need more than slogans and sound bites. They need conviction, they need clarity, they need training. And if that's something you've been hungry for, I want you to do two things. First of all, check out Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded our app yet, it's totally free. It's not going to cost you anything. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content are there right this moment, and there is more added every day. You're not going to be met with a paywall. There's no gimmicks, nothing like that. It's full of biblical content, podcasts, devotionals, hard-hitting truth on temptation and integrity and leadership and masculinity, all of it through a biblical lens. Just search for Fortis Plus wherever you get your apps or go to fortisplus.org. The second thing, if you or someone in your life is a young man trying to figure out how to live this out, not just believe the right stuff, but stand on it, then I want you to look at the Masters University. That's where Dr. Tyson teaches. It's where guys like Dr. Greg Gifford and others are shaping the next generation, not just academically, but spiritually. They're training young men to lead and to serve and to think biblically in a world that's getting more hostile by the day. Whether it's biblical counseling, whether it's engineering or pastoral ministry, TMU is serious about producing the kind of men who don't fold. You can check them out right now at masters.edu/manhood. And hey, look, if this podcast has been helping you build that kind of mindset, would you consider locking arms with us as a gospel partner? Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church. I tell you that weekly because that's your first priority. But if you are, if you have that area of your life taken care of and you're giving faithfully to your local church and you have the ability to go above and beyond and support this ministry, we would love to lock arms with you, especially if you want to help more young men hear this kind of truth. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood as we close out part two of a series we've been doing on a mind made up. Young man, when you face temptation, you have to make up your mind ahead of time. And this is what Daniel did when he was offered the food from the Babylonians, but it was food that would cause him to sin against the law of God and to sin against his own conscience. So he made a humble appeal that he could just eat vegetables and drink water. Now, please note, this isn't saying that every mature Christian has to be a vegetarian. Praise God, right? It's just saying that in this culture, at this time, this was the best way for Daniel to not defile himself because there were strict dietary laws given for the Israelites to follow. And so he asked the eunuch, hey, let's do an experiment. Let me eat vegetables and drink water. Let your other guys do whatever they want. And at the end of 10 days, let's see where we're at. Let's see whose plan works better. And I like the thought of that, right? We want to know that when we obey God, which is ultimately what Daniel is seeking to do, that you're going to have success. I mean, Joshua 1:8 kind of captures that principle. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you might be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. So here's what I'm saying to you, Gen Z. As you obey God's word and as you have conviction to live out your faith, the Bible says that you'll have success and the Bible says that you will be prosperous. And I think that it's talking about spiritual prosperity and spiritual success. Here's another way it works. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. And so I'm telling you, when you apply God's word and you obey him, it's going to go well with you. It's the way of the downcast and the way of the sinner that is treacherous, but it's the way of the righteous that God blesses. And I love this, talking about, you know, putting God to the test to see whether or not he'll bless obedience. That's exactly what happens in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, the Israelites were not giving their tithe and offering to God. And so Malachi confronted them and he says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? And the answer is, in your tithes and in your contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. So God is basically saying, put me to the test, obey me, choose me, walk in my way, walk in my truth, and if you do, see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. Remember, Daniel's in exile. He's trying to stay faithful, even though they're brainwashing him, and he makes this appeal not to have to eat the food, which would cause him to sin. And so the third heading that we see here, the first was Daniel's relocation. The second was Daniel's resolve. And now at the end of Daniel chapter 1, we see Daniel's reward. In verse 17, here's what happens. As for these youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So according to verse 17, Daniel, because of his obedience, received like an extra dose of knowledge and understanding. He received an extra dose of ability to discern and understand even visions and dreams. And not only that, verses 18 and 19 says, at the end of the time when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. So what's part of their reward here? The guys who had conviction, they were given the best places in the kingdom of Babylon. They were given the most influential places in the kingdom of Babylon, that they had superior favor in the sight of God. And because of that, God even gave them superior favor in the sight of Nebuchadnezzar. So this is what happens to them. They're given extra knowledge, extra intelligence, and then they have this opportunity to serve in this pretty unique way. We see also in verse 20, it says, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all of his kingdom. When you do it God's way, it doesn't get any better, because this is just being a really strong witness to the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God showed up for them. God blessed them. God equipped them for such a time as this. God enabled them to have the superiority, to have the inside track on the influence and the leadership, even of the nation of Babylon. And really, what's going to happen throughout the book of Daniel, remember, there's 12 chapters in this book, we see that Daniel continues to shine and he continues to stand out, to face other temptations, to give in to the system, but he won't. He's got resolve, he's got godly character, and he has received this superior insight than anyone else in the kingdom. So let me ask you, when you are fighting the battle, you're tempted sometimes to give in, aren't you? I'm tempted to give in because the temptation that we're facing is deceiving us. And it's telling us, if we just do things the world's way, then you're going to have a good time. I mean, let's just talk about it in the battle with sexual purity, young man, that if you give in to the world's way, I mean, the world's way is, it's okay to sleep with your girlfriend. It's okay to view pornography. It's okay to live in the way that would enable you to kind of live it up and to experience life to the fullest. But you got to be a man like Daniel. You got to be a man who has your mind made up, that before the temptation even comes, that you would say, you know what, I'm dead to that. Sin has no power over me. I belong to the true king, and I will not give in to the temptation, whatever it is that the world has to offer. And I believe that as you do that, God will give you more wisdom, more understanding. Pretty soon, you'll be 10 times better than anyone else out there. This doesn't always happen. You know, sometimes the world still seems to have the tiger by the tail. They seem to have their cake and eat it too. But the Bible says it's not true. Eventually, their party will come crashing down on their own head. But when you serve God, and when you obey God, and when you walk in his light and in his truth, you'll be rewarded. I mean, you'll be rewarded in heaven for sure, but I think that you'll also be rewarded here on this earth. I mean, one of the greatest rewards is just that you would have a clear conscience. And one of the greatest rewards is that you would have a very stable life that's filled with purpose and meaning of loving God and serving others. And really, this impacts all of life. I mean, the very last verse of Daniel chapter 1, after it says that Daniel was 10 times better than all the other leaders of the kingdom, it then says, and Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. So we're seeing that basically there's a transition from King Nebuchadnezzar to King Cyrus. It's kind of already hinting at Daniel was there all throughout his life. For the next 70 years, Daniel is able to live out a faithful life before God. Why? Because he was a man who had his mind made up. He was still faithful and true even 70 years later. So let me ask you a couple of questions as we kind of put a wrap on this two-part series of A Mind Made Up. Here's question number one. How are you potentially being brainwashed by the culture? I mean, you got to ask yourself. Remember, I told you spend more time in the world than you spend in church. You spend more time probably viewing entertainment on YouTube shorts or sitcoms or movies than you probably spend in the Word. So are you potentially being brainwashed by the culture? And I'm not saying you can't enjoy some forms of entertainment, but I'm saying you better have a mind made up that you're not going to go down that path where some of those worldly mediums of entertainment may want to take you. Here's another question for you. How are you strengthening godly convictions? You know, the only way to really strengthen godly convictions is to spend time with God. And the only way to really spend time with God is to spend time in His Word. Remember Joshua 1:8, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Let me encourage you to strengthen those godly convictions. And then a third question for you would be, are you experiencing God's favor in your life? I believe that as you obey God and as you live a life of resolve, and as you live a life that's in the world, but not of the world, because you choose to be different. You choose not to partake of what the world partakes of. Then as you do that, I believe that you'll begin to experience God's favor like never before, that he's going to fill you with all of his joy and peace and meaning, and he's going to give you a better life in Christ than you could ever have in the world. And so are you a man whose mind is made up? Let me pray for you that God would help you be that kind of man in the midst of the culture that we live in. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the reminder both last time and today about we want to be men who have strong resolve, and we want to be men who have strong convictions, and we want to be a man who has his mind made up. God, help us not to give in to the culture. Help us not to give in to temptation. Help us to stand strong and to serve Christ with all of our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.